The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Great to have your company again for The Leadership Show, the show that aims to help you use your influence to further God's purposes in the world. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and you're joining a worldwide audience, including people from over 100 countries, many listening via podcast, as well as the 4 p.m. slot on a Sunday on Premier Christian Radio. So how is your communication? Do you think you do it well? Every leader on the planet has to communicate, of course. And sometimes the difference between the average leader and a good one is their capacity to communicate. Well, this week I'm joined on The Leadership Show by Heather Thompson Day, who is Associate Professor of Communication at Colorado Christian University and an interdenominational speaker and contributor for Religion News Service, Newsweek, and the Barna Group. She runs an online community called I'm That Wife with 200,000 followers and is the author of 6 books, including Confessions of a Christian Wife and How to Feed the Mediavore. She rides in Littleton, Colorado with her husband and their 3 children. So it's a great joy to have you on the show, Heather.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to have a conversation with you today.
Well, thank you. We know that a lion's share of our overseas listeners come from the United States. So who knows? Some might be quite close to where you are. We don't know. But my first question, Heather, as Associate Professor of Communication, is what attracted you to the academic side of communication?
Oh, you know, so I took a general level course. It was called Interpersonal. It's an interpersonal course my sophomore year of college, and it changed my life. Truly, it changed my life. I fell madly in love with the idea that if you study communication theories, you can understand what connects and attracts people to other people and what builds relationships. I think communication is the relationship, it's the vehicle to relationship success. And so when I realized I've always been deeply invested in ministry and I've always really, really been curious and just, I love people and I love understanding how we can better connect to one another. So when I realized, hey, there's something academically that I can study that will help myself to do this whole people and relationship and ministry thing better. And then as I think I got into it, I realized, wait a second, this is something I can use to help educate and make better relationships with the people around me. It was just all the lights went off and it was just the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, it's great to hear. That was at Andrews University in Michigan?
Yes, I was at Andrews University in Michigan. Well, I started off at a small Christian school in Indiana called Bethel, and then I transferred to Andrews University.
Fabulous. And you're at Colorado Christian University now, obviously. Currently, you lost a member of its faculty, Larry Crabb, who was known by many in the UK. Did you know Larry yourself?
I did not. So I just came to Colorado Christian 2 years ago. And then one of those years has been COVID. So I've not been super immersed as far as like the faculty part of the community. I've been really immersed with my students.
So if you're preparing to speak, say at a local church, I'm just wondering if you have a process you go through or a series of questions you address in your preparation. Many of our listeners would be church leaders and having to do this regularly. And I'm just interested in finding out your process, if there is one indeed.
So I always would ask as many questions as I can about who is this audience? What is their baseline prior knowledge of religious teachings and faith? Of course, what is their gender and then age group? Those things help me figure out what type of message or series I would want to bring to a group. The most important thing about communication when you're trying to reach somebody is to understand who you're reaching. Who is the audience? That should be the first question that you always ask. Who is this audience? And how, once I know who they are, I can better craft a message to fit this audience's needs.
So presumably if you're visiting a church you don't know, or you've been invited from a distance, then you'd be asking lots of questions ahead of time.
Yeah, And you know what, this won't be true for everybody, but for me, I only take speaking engagements that fit typically a certain target demographic, because I feel like there's so many, you know, excellent, wonderful orators and speakers that can step into whatever church. But I know for me, I'm specifically called to speak to women and to speak to college students. And so I don't usually take any speaking engagements outside of that target demographic. And so that also is why I ask those questions, because that's where I'm best suited. I feel like that's the gap God has called me to stand in. And I think it's helpful for a lot of speakers to know it's a good thing for you to recommend someone else. If you get asked to speak to a target demographic that you feel like, you know what, I may not be the best suited person, so recommend somebody else that you think would be better suited for that audience. I think that it's a missed opportunity to take every speaking engagement that you get offered.
Sure. Well, I've watched you online, and I would encourage those listening to go to YouTube and watch you online. You come across very naturally, very passionate. I'm just wondering if you had a kind of any growth in terms of your communication, any things you do better now than you used to, or have you been in natural all your life?
No, my goodness. I remember the first time I ever got invited to speak, my husband's a pastor. And so they invited me just as his wife. They needed somebody to talk to the girls. And I had never spoken outside of a classroom in my life. And I was so nervous. I got through, there was probably like literally 15 kids at a camp. And I couldn't even think, because everything I was saying, I was trying to think about the next thing I was going to say. And it probably went okay. But inside it was very a miserable experience, because I had so much anxiety. So I did that for years. Probably, I would say it probably took me 4 years to feel like I could stand up in front of 2,000 people and give a message. And also I'll say, me being a teacher, I get to speak in front of my students every single day. And so I take my classroom opportunities very seriously. And I say, every speaking opportunity you get, I used to speak in the homeless shelter. I would go every single month to the homeless shelter. And I viewed that really as like a chance for me to use my gifts and serve in a way that felt natural for me. But also I took it very seriously, because that audience there would often tell me if they weren't interested, right? Like they wouldn't even lift their heads up if I wasn't saying something that got their attention. So I learned to really speak in a way that connects to people and gets their attention a lot of times in the homeless shelter and in my classroom. So I think it's really important to seek out opportunities and take it very seriously whenever you get to stand up and speak, because we get to co-labor with Christ. That is an honor. It's an honor. And I don't care if two people are there. My goodness, the Lord has brought me into this space to speak. Even right now, I get to talk to you. Right? It's just you and I, but this is an honor to me from God that I want to take seriously. And so I just think the more that we step into every single situation saying, God has anointed me for this purpose to be here right now, and this is the most important thing I will ever do today, I feel like we'd have a lot better results if we looked at life that way.
Sure. No, absolutely. Thank you. Heather, are you typically scripted? Do you use notes? Do you memorize your talk? Are you off the cuff?
That's a great question. So when I first started writing, I wrote everything out word for word and I memorized it. So I'm not sure which talk you would have watched, but if it would have been from probably 4 years ago, every word was written out ahead of time, word for word. And now I just kind of put whatever my next point is on my slide, and that's what tells my brain, okay, this is what you're going to talk about next. And it's just that I've been doing it so long now that I feel very comfortable.
That was going to be one of my questions, whether you use PowerPoint typically or vary according to the audience or always, or.
If I can use technology, I will, because I'm a teacher, so I'm used to that, but I don't use PowerPoint. I typically use, it's an education tool. It's called Prezi, or Canva. Canva is really good too. Like there's some really good visual looking slide decks that people can have access to that are free online.
Sure. So one of the things you talk about, Heather, is teaching pastors about communicating their faith with non-believers. And I'm just wondering the kind of things that you would impress upon pastors as they're doing that task.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. I think the number one thing that I would say to pastors, or that I do say to pastors as a communication person, is the average person will spend all of their energy trying to drag somebody kicking and screaming over to their message. And communication people, the first thing you learn in communication is it's never about bringing a person to your message. It is always about bringing a message to a person. So if I think sometimes pastors might fall into this idea that the most important thing is what they say. And communicators won't view it that way at all. We always think the most important thing is being understood. So I will always change my message to make sure it's understood. And then on top of that, if you don't understand, if you don't remember it, what good is it? So what communication tools do I know that I can use to help people retain a message? And so for me, if there's any pastors listening, the most important thing I think you should do for every sermon that you ever preach is have a line that you repeat throughout that sermon that then can now be connected to the object lesson of your message. And it should be something that is easy for people to remember. I tend to use very conversational phrases that people might be used to hearing said so that when I say it, it gets stuck. Like when I just, I did a chapel for my university last year that was called Remember Who You Are. And so I said that probably four times throughout the 30-minute message. Hey, remember who you are. And then two or three, it was like the next semester. So 3 months later, a student walked into my class and they looked at me for 2 seconds and they said, oh my goodness, remember who you are. And I knew then as a communication person, I've done my job because not only did you get the message, but you remembered it 3 months later. And so if we can give people, the human brain only remembers like 30 seconds worth of any information. So if we talk for 30 minutes on a stage, all of those people's brains are only going to remember 30 seconds worth. So my advice is always to give them a line that their brains can package to that 30 seconds. And make the job easier for yourself and for them by giving them a line they can remember.
Yeah. It's sad. It would be sad for listeners who are communicators to reflect on how much time they spend on the message, relative to how much is actually recalled.
Right. And, exactly. Exactly. So help people remember what you want them to remember. Right? That's all that is under your control based on how you present it. Most people, if you repeat the same line 4 or 5 times, they'll walk out with that line and then the application of what it meant.
So Heather, obviously recent years have made the online world a key one to engage with, particularly with the younger generation, should we say. Now you have 200,000 followers on your online community, I'm That Wife. So you must be doing something right, Heather. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I think some of it I do. I mean, hey, with anything, there's always a portion of luck, right? That's involved. And I recognize that. But here's what I will say to anybody who's trying to build online engagement is you have to be consistent and you have to know your message. You should always be very clear about who you are and how you're communicating that every single time when you get online. And I'm not talking about only showing one side of yourself. I think sometimes with pastors, that can be a temptation to always be like this sage on the stage who gives out fortune cookie information. Here's what I want you to know about how to engage online. It is always about connection. And all communication is always about connection, whether you're online or off. So to get online and put out messages and then never engage with the people who respond to your messages is the biggest mistake you can make. In fact, I would say more important than even the messages that you're putting out is your level of engagement. Okay. When people talk to you, do you talk back? Are you amplifying other people's voices? Communication and online communication is all about community and building a community with people who think like you do. So take every opportunity you can, you should spend time. So let's say when I first started out on social media, I would literally have like 30 minutes a day that I thought, this is the time I'm going to spend engaging with other people's accounts. So you go through and when you see somebody who has a great thought, tell them that. Don't just hit like and keep scrolling. No, say, hey, this was a really great thought. What you've just done is created connection. The next time you have a great thought, I guarantee you that person that you've commented on is 10 times more likely to comment back to you because they felt seen by you. And that's how it goes. You continue on building connection with other people.
So, I mean, it can be time consuming, Heather. So you say maybe 30 minutes a day. So that is, if it's a 5-day working week, that's 2.5 hours a week. That would be the kind of time you'd put into it.
Yeah. It is a lot of time consuming. This is why a lot of people hire people to do social media for them, because it is a lot of time. And I think in some level, you have to know what you're doing and you have to be very consistent. So it takes time. Yeah, there's no way around that, because it's not about just you getting on and doing a post. That would be a missed opportunity. The point is to get to understand the target market that you're even trying to reach by engaging with their posts. So I would say at minimum 30 minutes a day.
Right. And with respect to that, a lot of people find it challenging because of the negative elements. People take to Twitter, for example, have a go, and they can be quite wounded by that, and so they stay off of social media because of the fears of that. Has that happened to you? Have you found that a challenge?
You know what I did was once I got to a certain level, I turned off all of my DMs so that nobody can directly access me anymore, because I was getting so many negative comments and it did affect me, you know. And it's one thing when I think, for one, people will say different things publicly if they have to post it where other people can see it and respond, than they would send to your inbox. So I found it necessary to put boundaries up for myself and safeguard me, because why am I letting somebody that I don't know make me sad for an hour of my day? Because I'm like, oh, like, did it come out? You know, whatever negative thing that they say about you. I think it's important to have safeguards for sure. And then if I say something that I think might be seen as controversial, that is the only times I won't check my comments at all.
Okay.
Because I don't need to. I don't need to, like, if I really believe this, and Beth Moore says this, she says, I can have thick skin over thick beliefs. Meaning, if this is something that I really believe in, I better be willing to have thick skin over it, and I better be willing to say it publicly no matter what happens. And so her advice to me has been that. And so I've tried to employ that. And so if I say something that I know I'm going to need thick skin over, that's the only times I will never circle back and read the comments at all.
Fair enough. So Heather, on both sides of the Atlantic, online church has taken off, obviously, during the pandemic. We don't know, you know, when there's a degree of normality again, the degree to which online church will continue. But have you any comments about what's worked from a communication angle, or maybe what hasn't worked in terms of online stuff that you've seen?
Yeah, man, it's tough. Online church, I think, is really, really tough, because it's not the normal battles of like, oh, did people feel welcomed in your church? They're only seeing something online. And the reality is, I think it's like, if my YouTube video doesn't load within 2 seconds, I X out. This is true of all people. We X out of anything that doesn't load for us in 2 seconds. So that is the metric by which I'm judging all the online content I see. So unfortunately, if my church has a very low budget, right? But this church over here has a high budget. If I'm scrolling through, am I going to stop on a video that's poor quality and bad sound? Absolutely not. No matter how great the message is, no matter how great the people are, unfortunately, technology is such a deep part of the online church experience. And I don't like that at all. You know, I don't think that that's, I can't wait until COVID's over. And at least more people get vaccinated and we can go back to being in church in person, because I think small churches really are fantastic as far as communication goes, because we get to know each other's name and we get to do life together if we're in that small environment. But unfortunately, when it comes to online church, I think mega churches are able to thrive because they have the financial resources to do that.
No, sure. Fair enough. And you've written a number of books, Heather. What prompted your book writing? And do you have a favorite?
Yeah, my favorite is always the last one I've done. So right now, I have a book coming out June 29 called It's Not Your Turn. And that is absolutely my favorite book. Super proud of it. It's essentially about how who you are when it's not your turn is more important than who you will be when it is. And I really believe that.
Sure.
So that's probably my favorite book right now. And what got me started writing, I have been writing. That's the one thing I personally think God has always called over my life. When we talk about your purpose, for me, writing and teaching, I think, was my purpose since I was a child. When I was 6, 7 years old. I wrote books. Nobody will ever read them, but I was writing my entire, I wrote my first book that will never be published. I think when I was like in eighth grade, and it was called Diary of a Freshman. And it was just about this girl and her experience in her freshman year. So I've always been writing. I think I wrote 2 books before I got one published. The first one I got, I think I first got published when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And it was called Hook, Line, and Sinker. And it's a book about dating and dating experiences.
Right. So none of your books are directly on communication as such, although the How to Feed the Mediavore, How to Feed the Mediavore, that would probably have a communication dimension to it.
I haven't done a directly communicated related book yet. And that is probably the number one thing I get messages about is, hey, do you have a communication book? And then I don't. And so then I recommend them all the great communication books I've read. But that's a dream of mine. I want to do that. I would love to put together a book on communication because I do think it's so important.
Sure. And do you have any recommendations for listeners on books that you think would be helpful for them on communication?
Thank you for asking that question. A book that changed the way I teach and just changed my life is called Words Change the Brain. Highly recommend that everybody, it's written by 2 neuroscientists that are not Christian, but there's just so many really deep Christian principles, and it's all about compassionate communication. It's called Words Change the Brain. That book was a life-changing book for me. And then a really great book that is about communication and leadership is called Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. That book also really changed the way I teach and the way I think.
If you're searching for a pen, Words That Change the Brain. Yeah.
Words Change the Brain.
Words Change the Brain. And Multipliers by Liz Wiseman would be your 2 recommendations for books. Excellent. And so as we kind of come to a conclusion, Heather, particular tips for leaders listening who maybe are aware that they don't communicate as well as they'd like. Maybe they get very nervous or a bit tongue-tied or whatever. And they would say, well, I'm a decent leader, but my communication style isn't great. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I tell people this all the time, and I think that this is very helpful. All of the energy that you typically spend before going into a social interaction thinking, how do I convince them that I am smart? Or how do I convince them that I am charismatic? Or how do I convince them that I am funny? My advice to all of my students is take all of that energy that you spend trying to convince other people of what you are and use it to convince them of what they are. So every conversation a great communicator walks into, they think, this isn't about me convincing you that I'm great. It's about me showing you that you're great. And if I spend my interactions with people bringing out what I see in them, they're always going to walk away and say, wow, there was something about that conversation. There was something about that person. And it's that we help each other see better versions of ourselves. So I really think great communicators do that. They make people see better versions of who they could be and the world around them.
And would you have some famous people that people would have heard of that you think do that especially well in maybe the US or elsewhere? Maybe that's putting me on the spot.
Yeah. There are so many. I mean, I always think in like terms of the Christian context, but I think Beth Moore, I've had her come in and Zoom my students. Beth Moore is a fantastic communicator. And I think a lot of it is for that very purpose of what I've just said is when you talk to her, it's going to make me like even like weep to think of it. She's really good at seeing you and then helping you see yourself. It's just something that you can't fake, you know, and you can't really teach. But I think the Holy Spirit can give it to all of us, and He can give the gift of like tongues in the sense of communication, I mean, to all of us to better reach the people around us and to see them for who they are and to help them see a better version of themselves.
That's beautiful, Heather. Thank you so much. Well, we're coming to an end of our conversation, but there's just time perhaps to share your website so that folk can connect with you and with your online community. And obviously with the beauty of eBooks, they could probably download one of your books within half an hour of our conversation. So, or the broadcast of this conversation. So maybe you could share that those details with us.
I'd love to. So you can find me, you can always contact me through my website, heatherthompsonday.com, heatherthompsonday.com. You can find me on Instagram at Heather Thompson Day or on Twitter at Heather T Day. And then my books are on, my books are all on my website.
Fabulous. So heatherthompsonday.com, and Thompson is with a P if you're in the UK. So most of us, I guess, have aware of that difference. So yeah, make sure Thompson has a P. So fabulous. Well, Heather, it's been a joy to, I sense your enthusiasm for this conversation, and that's clearly part of your sense of calling for this particular role that you have at Colorado Christian University, and indeed your calling on your life. So it's been terrific to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Andy.
That was my conversation with Heather Thompson Day. Some great advice on focusing on the hearer, rather than fretting too much about what the hearer thinks about you and what you're going to say, and aiming to have a repeating refrain of anything major you want the listener to take away with them. Her website again is heatherthompsonday.com. And I checked the book she mentioned. It's Words Can Change Your Brain by Andrew Newberg and Mark Robert Walden. Words Can Change Your Brain, Andrew Newberg and Mark Robert Walden. And the other book was Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. Maybe today's show has encouraged you to up your game when it comes to speaking, either one-on-one or when talking to a group or congregation, as you seek to be an influence in God's great purposes of redemption. May God anoint you for that task. This is Andy Peck, looking forward to your company again. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.